This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, this is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast. And today I just wanted to take a minute and talk about the importance of having a contract, and even if you're signing somebody else's contract, the importance of understanding it and having it reviewed and knowing what it says. So I always get this question is, what amount justifies a contract? Like, what dollar amount of work would justify the contract? And there's this mindset that the smaller the dollar amount, the less likely you need something in writing. But I think the opposite is true. The smaller the dollar amount, the more clear you need to be about what work is being done and the price, right? And so even if it's just a small purchase order, or if, you know, it's your bid form and somebody signs off on it, the smaller the project, I think the more important something in writing is. And here's why. Because no matter, we are all different people and we all have different perceptions, and our perceptions are based on the things that happen to us in our life. So as well as you think you try to explain something to someone verbally, they're always going to have a different perception of what's expected. And the best way to clear that up is by having something in writing. So even I find that the smaller projects are more important to have something in writing, just something that clearly says what's expected. I had a client come in not that long ago, and he had a guy that wanted to redo his roof for a cheap price. And my client said, I'll provide the labor and I can get this great deal on these shingles, but they're all going to be different colors. You know, they're going to be a good quality, but they're not going to match. And the guy's like, oh, that's fine. You know, I can get a roof for, you know, $2,000. I'll do that. And so my client, you know, gets the mismatched shingles, takes the time and goes and puts a new roof on. And it is like six different colors, you know, quite shocking when you see it, right? Like, I don't think the owner understood what my client meant by mismatched shingles. And so, of course, when it's all done, you know, my client did it for cheap. He didn't make any money. He was just trying to, you know, help the guy out. My client gets sued because this roof of mismatched shingles does not look like a quality product or something that anybody would do on purpose. And my client had to redo the roof for free because he didn't have anything in writing saying, hey, this was our agreement. You agreed to have these mismatched shingles. So the smaller the thing, especially if you're doing something outside of what you normally do, definitely have it in writing and signed off on. You know, like I said, it could be a PO written from Home Depot, like a purchase order form. But guys, it's not that expensive to get a contract written for your specific business. I mean, at the Cromings Law Firm, our flat rates for contracts start at $1,500. And we're going to ask you questions about the work that you do, what's important to you, you know, and fill it in specifically for your company. And then we'll have, you know, all the legalese. But what I try to do with our contracts is make it in plain English. So yes, you're going to have everything you need legally to be required, but you're also going to be able to understand what is in your contract. And so will the person signing it. So, you know, if they ask you, what does this mean? You'll be able to tell them. I think it's so important that we be clear on the expectations. You know, Brene Brown has a saying, clear is kind, right? And that goes for all transactions in all situations. I'm being clear with what's expected. You know, the work that's going to be done, how much I'm going to be paid, when I'm going to be paid is the best thing you can do. You know, having something your client signs that they don't understand or that you don't understand isn't going to turn out well for any party at the end of the day. So really take the time. If you're going to be in the construction business and you're going to need a contract, you're not signing other people's contracts, take the time and spend the little bit of money that it takes to get a good set of contracts. There's nothing better. I can go through case study after case study of people that didn't have good contracts or weren't clear on their scope of work, getting sued time and time again. And they're all like, well, I told them. And let me tell you something. If you have to say, I told them as part of the story, that's not a good story to have. You know, you want to be able to show them, here's where I told them. It's in writing. It's in our contract. Because if their dispute comes, guess what? Yeah, I told them. And they're going to say, no, you didn't. Or you told me this. And it's he said, she said. So spend the time, get everything in writing, get a good set of contracts. Now, the second thing that happens in the construction industry is you have to sign somebody else's contract. And I know as a subcontractor or somebody who's working for a general, there's not a lot of negotiating power. I get it. But even if you can't negotiate, understanding what you sign is so important. So here at the Cromings Law Firm, we do it for a flat fee and affordable price. The starting rate for a contract review is from 1 to 15 pages, and it's a flat $550. And for that price, what do you get? You're going to send the contract over to us. We're going to go through and we're going to highlight, here's the things that you need to do that you might not know, and here's the things to watch out for and try to negotiate if you can. And we're going to give that to you, and we'll walk you through it, and we'll answer all your questions and explain it. So at least you know what you're signing up for, because you need to know where your company has risk and what you might be exposed to with signing a contract, especially if you're signing somebody else's contract. It's usually for a larger dollar amount, and the risk is high. The risk to your company is high, because at the end of the day, if you breach that contract or you can't perform under the terms of the contract, it's not like you can just walk away. You don't get just to leave and not do the work, because here's what happens. If you breach a contract, you walk away, you don't finish your work for the price that you said, whoever hired you is going to hire a replacement contractor, right? And if it costs them more than what they would have paid you, a little bit, a lot, they'll come after you for the difference. So when you sign a contract, it's a promise. It is a promise you're going to do that work for that price. It's a very serious thing, because if you don't, and whoever hired you suffers damages because you didn't fulfill your promise, now you have to pay them back those damages. So let's be clear and let's understand what we're signing. A lot of subcontractors think that there's some set of rules out there that protect them when they're signing a subcontract. There's not. Whatever you sign in a subcontract will be used against you. So make sure you understand what you're signing. And at the end of the day, it is not enough just to do a good job. Right? If you sign somebody else's subcontract, doing a good job isn't enough. You have to know what that subcontract says, and you have to perform all of those things under that contract. Like, are there daily reports required? Do you have to do submittals? You know, what is required throughout the project ongoing that you need to do? Because guess what? Failing to follow any one of those means you're in default under the contract. And if you're in default, they don't have to pay you. There's a whole plethora of things. So knowing all the little details in there that you agreed to sign up for, like, you know, most contracts, say you have a safety plan, say you have an employee manual, those things can be requested on demand because you've signed that contract that says you have it. And what are you going to do when that happens and you don't have that? You know, here at the Cromings Law Firm, we can help you get all of that ready for a flat fee and have, you know, everything set up the way you need to. So if that's requested from you, oh, no big deal. Here it is. You know, I have it. I'm ready to go because I read my contract. I know what I need to do. I know what's required. So, and then some of the other provisions that you're going to want to watch out for or try to negotiate, which, you know, I have the book Quit Getting Screwed that goes in depth in all these, or the Subcontractor Institute if you want to learn more about it on your own and get the forms. There's a whole set of classes there, but pay when paid clauses, right? What does that mean for your business? The question is, if there's a pay when paid clause in there, which is whoever hired you, the general contractor, doesn't have an obligation to pay you until they get paid from the owner. You have absolutely no control over that. The owner could go bankrupt. There's tons of reasons why the owner wouldn't pay the general. So the question is, can you afford to float that entire contract amount while the project's going on? Can you afford to put out your guys every day to go do that job? Can you afford to pay for the materials that it's going to require without getting paid? Because even with the paid when paid clause, if you haven't been paid, you don't have the right to stop working. So you need to finish your contract and maybe not get paid at all. That's the risk that you're facing when you sign a subcontract or any contract with a pay when paid clause. So try to negotiate it. If you can't negotiate it, you know that this is a financial risk, and can I take it? You can go uninformed. The reverse side of that is that you don't go informed, you don't realize it, and for some reason the owner is delayed in paying the general contractor 6 months. It's not your fault, but you don't get paid for 6 months and you still got to keep working. Can you float that amount of time? Can you float that, pay for your guys, pay for your material? So knowing that's in there, and it's in most of them, and what the terms of it are, are huge. And is there a way you can get around it? You know, there are some ways by state law that you can send a letter saying you don't want it to apply to you, and it won't. But knowing that before you sign the contract is huge. You need to know the risk. Does your contract require a bond? And how do you get one of those? And what is that? I mean, one of the biggest things is that to understand is that a bond is not insurance. A bond is basically a personal guarantee of your performance under the contract. And if you don't perform under the contract, whoever you have a contract with is going to file on your bond. And if the bond company pays out, you'll have to pay them back. And if you signed an agreement with a bond company, it's not only your company assets, it's your personal assets that are up for grab to satisfy that amount. So does your contract require a bond? Knowing what that is before you sign, we can all explain that all to you. You know, even if you don't have a bond, some subcontracts that I've seen have a personal guarantee. Don't ever sign that. Unless you're getting a bond, and those are normally just for federal projects, there's no reason to personal guarantee the work you do under subcontract. And they'll sneak it in at the bottom. There'll be like three signature lines. One for the contractor, one for you, the subcontractor, and one for the guarantor that has your name on it. Don't sign that. Cross it off and send it back. There's need to have a negotiation on that. It's not industry standard. It shouldn't be required. Don't be wrong. If you sign it, obviously they'll take it from you and they'll use it against you. So I'm just brushing the surface of what is in these contracts that can be so dangerous. Like I said, I understand that you may not have a lot of negotiating power. You have some, but even if you don't have any, just knowing what you've agreed to is essential. You know, there's truly and honestly no reason that these contracts have to be in a format that the everyday person couldn't understand them. And that's what I'm on a mission to do, to make the contract in plain English. You know, being clear as kind, that's what you want. And you want to be able to understand what you're signing in a contract. And there's no reason you shouldn't. It's kind of unreasonable to have to sign something you don't understand to go to work. And something you don't understand that could eventually, if you don't follow all the provisions right, put you out of business. So I say all that to say, number one, no matter how small the project, have something in writing. If you're going to be in this business, in the construction industry, and you're going to have to draft your own contracts, it is worth the money to have a good set of contracts. Like I said, we have starting rates at $1,500. You can budget that in, and we're going to get to know your business and draft a contract specifically for you. If you're not drafting your own contracts, you're signing somebody else's, you don't understand what it says, we can help you do that too for a flat fee. But it is essential, regardless, that you understand what you're signing and understand that the risk that you're taking. Understand that's not always negotiable, but it will help you substantially learning the risks that are in those things. So at the end of the day, guys, we're here to help at the Chromeans Law Firm. I have classes that go further in depth in all these areas and things to watch out for in the subcontract at thesubcontractorinstitute.com. As in line with the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, firm is developed to help people in the construction industry grow better businesses. And I think it's important that I put in there that I know what that means, right? I know what you need to run a better business. Because growing up, I worked for my uncles that run subcontracting businesses. I worked for my uncle that ran an irrigation company. I saw the struggles that he had signing contracts he didn't understand and trying to get paid on time. My grandfather's company was an excavation company that ended up going out of business because he didn't understand his lien rights. You know, the mom and pop businesses, these are the businesses that I'm trying to protect. What I like to call the get shit done tribe. That's what we are. And you deserve somebody to help you run a better business from the legal side. And here's the thing is that you should be able to understand what's going on and make informed decisions about the growth of your company from the legal side, as far as your collections, your contracts. There's nothing that I do or any attorney that does that they shouldn't explain to you what's going on so you're fully informed. You know, and then when I was in law school, I started a material supply company. And I've never worked so hard in my life, going to the office at 4 a.m. and working all day, you know, out in the warehouse, doing whatever it takes to get it done till 6 or 7 in the evening. I know how hard that is. I understand the time away from your family, the time away from everything else, just to focus on this, to put food on the table. And that deserves to be protected. And when you're working that hard, you need a partner. You need a partner to say, hey, should I sign this release? And I need to know now because I really need this check so I can make payroll at the end of the week. You know, I had a worker hurt on the job. What do I need to do? All of these things. I needed a good employee manual. All the things I learned the hard way about running a business. If you come to me, we can set it up on the front end so you don't have to learn those lessons that way. You really need to know the difference, and I'll have a podcast on this later on, between an employee and a contractor. It doesn't really matter what you call them. It matters what the IRS calls them. And if you do it wrong, you can get sued in federal court and a class action brought against you. And I'm not talking about a big company. I'm talking about the mom and pop shop that has three guys that's, you know, doing electrical work. It can happen to you. A certified class, and they get to go look at all of your past 3 years of records and bring in all those employees that ever worked for you, or send them notice that they potentially have an overtime claim because you call them subcontractors, but the law calls them employees. So these are all things that you need to know if you're going to go run your own business. And I'm here to help. And that's what we're here to do, to help protect you from those things, keep you out of the courtroom, federal court, or any kind of court, help you make an informed decisions on how to better run your company. And like I said, that starts with having a set of contracts that you understand, and if you're signing somebody else's, understanding what it means. So feel free to look us up, thecromingslawfirm.com or the Subcontractor Institute. And thank you guys for the time, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.